Glad to see everybody that the Lord has brought out this morning. We welcome you once again to the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Pensacola. We are thankful this morning that you are here. We are thankful this morning that God has worked out the things in your life this morning, that you can be in this place at this time, for He has done this thing. He has brought us here, each and every one, for His purpose. He is God over all, in control of all things. And praise Him this morning. His Spirit works in our lives. And He leads, guides, and directs us as we depend on Him and as we trust in Him. The last time I spoke to the church, we talked about the Holy Spirit of God. And we talked about how He quickens our hearts. And how He must change us. How He must take the stony heart from out of us and replace it with a heart, a soft heart, that can receive the things of God. This morning we're going to move on a little further, and we're still going to talk about the Holy Spirit of God. But this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the Spirit enlightening. Enlightening. By man's fallen nature, he is in a state of darkness. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we are in a state of darkness. Our human nature is unable to receive the things of God. The natural man is unable to understand the truth of God's Word. We see it every day. Every day we see that people are unable to understand. But then a miracle happens, and someone starts to understand and to believe that God is God in all things, including salvation. And we realize that that person was just like we were before we were changed, and they were unable to understand until an action took place. And this action is not something that natural man can do. It's something that must come from God. It is a spiritual enlightenment. Inward spiritual darkness. This is something that we inherited from Adam and Eve. We could read in Genesis the story of Adam and Eve, but we've read it many times. Each of us know the story. Where they fell into temptation, and they disobeyed God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And because of this sin, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. They died. Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden. They really did. Now we go on and we read about their life after death. Perhaps sometimes that's puzzling. And we're going to look at that for just a second. The way they died is, they were separated from their God. This is a spiritual death. They walked in the light in the Garden of Eden. They walked with God every day. Because of their sin and because of the curse from God, because of sin, they suddenly were in darkness. They suddenly did not walk in the light with God every day. They were separated from God. Now death is a separation. That's what death is. And we look at death a lot of times carnally from our natural minds as a very final, it's over with type thing. And physically, it is. But there's more to us than just physical. What happens in death is that the soul is separated from the body. But the soul does not die. The soul lives on. The soul lives on. And so death is just a separation. When I die from this body, I'm going to leave this old body. But I'm not going to end at that point. I'm going to continue to live in the Spirit. My soul continues to live. So death is a separation. We need to look at it that way. Death is a separation. That's all it is. This spiritual darkness that was put upon all men because of the fall of Adam and Eve, it is brought on by a separation from God. All through the book, God is represented as the light. He is the light. The light came into the world and the darkness comprehended it not, the Bible tells us. And so in this state of darkness, mankind is unable to see the light of God. He is unable to understand spiritual things of God because he is in darkness. He does not have the eyes to see. Until the Spirit of God performs a miracle of grace upon the soul, this person in spiritual darkness cannot see the light. They cannot understand the spiritual things of God until the Holy Spirit of God moves upon that soul. No matter how well we know the Scriptures, no matter how much studying we do, no matter how smart we are, we still cannot understand the things of God, the truth of God's Word, the things that are spiritually discerned or understood until the Holy Spirit of God changes us. It is a necessary part of our spiritual life. It's not going to happen without it. Jesus Christ said that He would send a Comforter, and He did, and the Comforter is His Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 3. I know that we are familiar with this. When Jesus was talking here about this very thing, He was talking to Nicodemus. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So this change of heart, this moving of the Holy Spirit upon the soul is a necessary thing for us to see the kingdom of God. We cannot see the kingdom of God without it. Must be. This is God talking. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this inward darkness I'm talking about that fills the soul of the natural man, it's not just a mere intellectual ignorance of spiritual things. It's worse than that. It's much worse than that. Ignorance is really a negative thing. It's the fact that you don't know something. If somebody tells you, then you'll know it. Simple as that. But this goes much deeper than that. In the natural world, if I tell you something that you don't know, after that, you know it. You know it and you've got it. But the spiritual darkness, the inward spiritual darkness that I'm talking about this morning, it is a positive thing. And I don't mean positive as in good. I mean positive as in it is an energetic principle, if you will, that strongly opposes God. It is a very powerful thing. Very powerful thing. It is a prejudice toward evil against holiness. This spiritual darkness I'm talking about in fallen man, it is a powerful thing. It is something that is in you that you cannot get rid of. Just being told something of the spiritual nature is not enough. All of my life as a child, I was taught the doctrines of grace. And I knew them. I knew the doctrines of grace in my mind for years and years and years. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I could tell you what the doctrines of grace were, and I could explain to you, even as a child, the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. But it wasn't enough. And until, as a grown man, the Holy Spirit of God changed my heart in spiritual power. The only one that can overcome this nature of spiritual darkness is the Holy Spirit of God. And He did it to me. He changed me. And He enlightened me. And suddenly, like a wave of water from the past, all of these things that I already knew in my mind just washed over me. And I realized that they were truth. Even though I knew them, they did not have a spiritual effect on me until God changed me. And His Holy Spirit enlightened me and caused me to believe down in the depths of my soul that God really is God and I really am a sinner in desperate need of Him. And until that point, all that knowledge that I had, it didn't do me any good. We must be changed by the Holy Spirit of God. The power of darkness, it is very great. It's very strong. It's so powerful that men love darkness rather than light. We can find that in John 3:19. Even though we have great knowledge, even though we are great warriors, great people in this world, with great understanding, yet it is not enough to pull us out of the darkness that is upon us. It's not enough. We have some very intelligent people in this world. But all the knowledge gathered together in this world and put in one person is still not enough to pull that person out of the spiritual darkness that they were born into. It's not enough. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Why is it so easy for us to learn natural things? We can study we can become very educated in the things of the world. Little children nowadays spend time on computers, and they have information that it would boggle the mind to hear little children telling of the information that they have. It is easy to learn. But it is very difficult to learn of spiritual things. And the reason is, we have a spiritual battle going on every day in our minds. We have the light, which is a new creature that God has created within us. And then we have the darkness of our nature. And when I said that men love darkness rather than light, that darkness is a powerful thing within us. It causes us to love it. The darkness that is in us, that we inherited from Adam and Eve, it is a powerful thing. It is a positive thing against God. It struggles and it strives with the new man or with the light. Only the Spirit of God can deliver us from this terrible darkness that we find ourselves in. Our old heart must be taken away, as we talked about last month, and a new heart given. If not, no matter how many years we live, we will never see the gospel in its true light. We are unable to without this change of heart, without this spiritual enlightenment. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to get a little view right here in the very first two verses of the Bible of the salvation story. We're going to get a little view of what happens when God moves upon the soul of man and puts light where there is spiritual darkness. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void." That is the picture of us without Christ. Without form and void. That was us before God changed us. That was this natural man I'm talking about who sits in spiritual darkness. Without form and void. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." That's what He did to you if you're saved this morning. He moved upon your soul. He moved upon your soul. The Spirit of God came and changed your heart. And He gave you faith to believe in Him. He gave you faith. Suddenly you believed that God's Word really is the truth. It really is the truth, and it's what you need. And it pointed to Jesus Christ. He moved upon the face of the waters of your soul. Verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light." Let there be light. Do you see the steps here? Do you see the steps of salvation here? You're in darkness, spiritual darkness, unable to see the light. You were without form and void. You were unable to do anything spiritually. The natural man is dead in his trespasses and sins. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That is a picture of the darkness, the spiritual darkness that the natural man lives in. That is a picture of it right there. Isn't God's Word something? But now, let's read the wonderful part again. "And the Spirit of God moved." Oh, praise Him this morning if He has moved upon your soul. If He has changed your heart and giving you this childlike faith to believe in Him. "The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So here we have a picture of the dead sinner unable to do anything, without form and void, unable to make one spiritual move. He can't do anything. Then we have the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moving in your soul and changing that hard heart to a soft heart, that you might believe in Him to the saving of your soul. Okay, now you're changed. Now suddenly you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ came to this world, suffered, bled, and died, and rose again on your behalf. That He hung on that cross carrying your sins, and that you have no help except in Him. What's the next move? What happens next? The very next thing in verse 3 of Genesis 1 says, "And God said," boy, isn't that some power? The same God that spoke this world into existence. "And God said, let there be light." Let there be light. And that's the next step in your salvation. He changed your heart. You trust in Him totally now. You believe in Him. You rely on Him. You know that you have no other hope. What's next? He enlightens you. He allows you to understand His Word now. Now that you're changed, He enlightens you to His Word. He says, "Let there be light." And guess what? There is light. Let there be light, and there is light. Suddenly you are able to understand the Scriptures where you may have known them well before. I did. There were certain Scriptures that I knew in my mind well. But I didn't understand what they meant until I was changed. And until God said to my soul, "Let there be light." And there was light. There was light. Now, it's a struggle. Even now, it's a struggle learning God's Word. Why is that? I think I might have said something about Brother Tom Wright's saying the other night about the spiritual battle that goes on every day in our minds. He was a member of this church for a good while. He's gone on to be with the Lord. One of the things that examples he used pretty often was two dogs. And he said, the spiritual battle in our minds every day is like two dogs, a black dog and a white dog. They represent the darkness and the light. Every day these dogs fight. They get up in the morning and they go out in the yard and they start fighting. They fight all day long. Every day. And whichever one the master feeds that day, he's the one that wins. If the owner of the dog feeds the white dog this morning, he doesn't feed the black dog, guess who wins the battle? The white dog does. If he gets up in the morning, he feeds the black dog, and he doesn't let the white dog have anything, the black dog wins that day. In other words, you have a natural man, you have a spiritual man, and they live together in this body and in this mind, and they battle every day. You get up in the morning and you start reading your Bible and praying to God. What you are doing, basically, is you are feeding the spiritual man. You are feeding the white dog, as Brother Tom would say. But if you get up in the morning and you do something else, you start your day out flipping the TV or some other thing that doesn't glorify God, some other thing that doesn't pertain to the spiritual things of your life, in essence, you are feeding the natural man. As Brother Tom would say, you are feeding the black dog. And that black dog is going to be triumphant that day. The black dog will never win the war. If God has changed your heart, you are going to live forever with Him in heaven. Nothing can separate you from His love. But we're talking about a battle, a daily battle. And though the natural man may win the battle today, he will not win the war. You will be triumphant in Jesus Christ. Feed the new man. Walk in the light. It is so important. Psalms 36 and 9. Says, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." So as we partake, if you will, of the spiritual food of God's Word, as we study about Jesus Christ and learn more of Him and seek Him, that's what we're to do daily. We're to seek Him and seek to learn more about Him. In thy light, in His light, in the enlightenment of His Word, as we read His Word and His Holy Spirit teaches it to us in our hearts, as we are enlightened, as we learn, then we see the light. We're able to walk in the light. He is the light, what I'm trying to say. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Seek Him. Learn more of Him. Love Him. And you will walk more and more in the light. And you know what that means? When you walk more and more in the light, you walk less and less in the darkness. And vice versa. Feed the spiritual man. I want us to see this morning that the light of God's Word, the learning of God's Word, it is a spiritual thing, something that's done spiritually. It's not just a gaining of knowledge. It's not just a communication of data. It's far more than that. It is both of those things. It is a gaining of knowledge, and it is a communication of data. But it cannot be done except the Spirit of God is involved. It cannot be done otherwise. It's a spiritual thing. It is a, if I could use Brother John Suarez's word, if I can say it, it is an experiential consciousness. It's not just a knowledge. It's something that you experience spiritually. Something that you experience spiritually. The learning of God's Word. Now once the soul is made into the recipient of spiritual things, once the Holy Spirit has changed your heart and allowed you to receive God's Word spiritually, then all your faculties are changed. You are able to exercise spiritually. You are able to enter into spiritual exercise. You are able to learn of God's Word. You are able to change your life. You are able to do that now. If you have been made able to receive God's teachings, you now have the ability to change your life. All credit goes to Jesus Christ. All glory goes to Him. But realize that with this power that you've been given, with this spiritual life that you have now received freely, you have a great responsibility. You have a responsibility to feed that spiritual man every day. You have a responsibility to grow in Jesus Christ every day. You have a responsibility to change your life. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about mortifying the deeds of the body, or the deeds of the flesh. Mortify means to put to death, to do away with, to put down, to hold down, to mortify the deeds of the natural man. We have the responsibility to do that every day. And as we do, we grow spiritually. The spiritual man takes over more and more. As we put down the things of our natural lives, and this is done in degrees, it's a daily thing, but it's something that we are responsible to do. We have spiritual life. What a wonderful thing. But what a great responsibility too. We have the responsibility to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Praise God that the Holy Spirit is faithful to the covenant in which He has entered. The Holy Spirit is entered into a covenant with God the Father and God the Son. He has many, many offices and duties that He fulfills perfectly. God the Holy Spirit. Bless your heart this morning. He is the Comforter. He it is that changes you and allows you to partake of this great, great spiritual light. Praise Him this morning. Give credit where credit is due this morning. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. By praising the Holy Spirit, you are not taken away from Jesus Christ. You are not taken away from God the Father. Make it a habit of yours to daily think of the great things that the Holy Spirit of God is doing in your life. Remember, it is the Holy Spirit that changed you. It is the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs you. It is the Holy Spirit that lives within your heart today. Praise God this morning that we have Him here with us, and He will not forsake us. Once again, nothing can separate us from His love. Praise Him this morning. We are able to understand and perceive spiritually. Our conscience is now able to feel spiritually. We now have the affections to move spiritually. And we now have the will to act spiritually. Remember, the Holy Spirit, He it is who is with you and lives within you. He it is who guides you to God's Word and allows you to spiritually feed upon Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the Word.